Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever near as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passing, and I'll follow. Bring a blessing. May I ride on a way of faith, and at the end of my heart, with your
God bless you all tonight. We welcome to every word, amen, on Blog Talk Radio tonight, and we thank God for each and every one being here, and Apostle Marcus Dupree, Apostle Lee Dupree, we thank God for the opportunity to come forth tonight and bring forth the word, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do. Tonight, we will start a new series, and we will talk about prayer culture, but more so establishing a prayer culture. The Lord had me kind of tweak that a little bit because, you know, a lot of times we can talk about something, but we need to get it, you know, we really have to approach it as getting it established, because a lot of times we don't have it established, but we have to work on setting the foundation to get it established in our lives, in our churches, whatever needs to be done, but it begins with us. So, you know, we can desire for the church, yes, but at the same time, we also need to have this for our own life as well. So establishing a prayer culture, it begins with you, begins with us, you know, and then we take it to the church and go forward from that place. Or we learn it from the church, you know, and apply it to our homes. Whichever way you hear it or receive it, you know, being able to establish it first in our lives as we begin to share it. And it's something that we have to work on. We have to be persistent and consistent with it, and we have to be relentless about it. Because it makes a big difference in our lives. So I'm going to read a few scriptures before we get started. Well, before I start, of course, I'm going to pray. But we're going to get into the Word, and we're going to see it as a very familiar scriptures that we have seen through the years. And really, we've seen it in action. We've seen a prayer culture in action, but sometimes not realizing what it really is. So we're going to get into that, and we're going to really establish that and go from there. So I'm looking forward to a great time tonight, and looking forward to God speaking his heart and his revealing his mind to us tonight. So here with fresh ears tonight, even though the scriptures may be familiar, but don't approach it in the spirit of familiarity. Open your spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Let the word minister. Let the word reach you where you are. Let it awaken you. Let it cause you to be awakened, enlightened, that it may minister and bring you to a new place in your understanding in God, in the Word of God tonight. So just want to encourage you with that, because sometimes we hear from his scripture, I know that story, but then we miss what God is trying to say because we just blowing it off because we know the scripture. But the Word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce and divide between spirit, to soul and spirit. So, you know, it's powerful what it does on its own. So let the Word of God do what it does. Let it minister to you. Let it build you. Let it strengthen you. Let it enlighten you. Let it just really just do what God have intended to do. You know, we have to take the thought process out of it, for instance, from our finite mind, and really hear and grab hold to his infinite mind of what he's trying to say in this hour and time. So as we begin to get into this word, amen, I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. We'll start there, but let's start with an order of prayer. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We give you praise, give you honor and glory. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have as we embrace your presence tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word coming alive in us tonight, Lord God. Let us hear with our spiritual ears. Let us be awakened, Lord God, for our revelation, knowledge, and truth in Jesus' name, that we shall not only hear, but we shall be doers of your word, oh God. Let us begin to put the word of God in action. Let us begin to put these principles in action. Whatever it takes for us to establish prayer culture, our prayer culture, Lord God, thank you for helping us to do that in Jesus' name, that we shall see the results, that we shall embrace the moment, that we shall see what and participate in the culture of prayer and allow it to, Lord God, to navigate us through life and allow it to keep us where we definitely as we desire to be kept. So, Lord, thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we hear tonight, Lord God, let us receive in our hearts and let the word of God begin to go forth mightily in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you for this time this moment right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And we bless you, Lord God, as you breathe your breath of life on us, oh God. Thank you for the word. Breathe on this word. The word is alive. It is powerful. Sharpening any two-edged sword. And we thank you, Lord God, the spirit, the letter killeth, but the spirit breaketh forth life. And thank you, Lord God, for this very moment, this time, this hour, in Jesus' mighty name. So, Father, thank you. As we believe and receive now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, as we go forth and read. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast thou made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David have said, why did the heathens rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. I'm going to go a little bit further. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them. That ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Okay, and with great power gave the apostles witnesses, the apostles the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Stop right there. So prayer, amen. So establishing a prayer culture. Establishing a prayer culture is what we're talking about tonight. It's a little different subject. I heard a clip the other day on pertaining to prayer. I think it was Bishop Campbell. It was a powerful 2-minute little clip of pertaining to prayer. And it resonated so much in my spirit that it stirred me. I was just, already thinking on that. And it really, when I heard it, it really just kind of brought some things together. It really kind of got my attention, really did. But as I was... he was saying, the question came to my spirit, what is a prayer culture? I never heard it, like that before. I never really recognized it before. But it stirred me to begin to look it up and post some information on it and everything. And I said, okay, it makes sense why when it came to me, it made sense in the name of it, what it was. But it made more sense as I began to read up on it. And so when we talk about, I'm going to read a few clips of the article, that one of the articles that I found. It says, we are learning the priority of shaping a culture of prayer in our churches. There's no formula or cookie-cutter approach, but we have discovered some vital truths that seem to yield consistent fruit. So this is something that has been what it is, in the sense that it has existed, but a lot of times it was hit and miss, because if we didn't realize what was trying to be established, we didn't keep it up. So there'd be probably a time in some of our church season where you've had you know, the church was doing a lot of praying and some great things were happening. God was moving, and then somehow we died down. We got off the flow, and next thing you know, things went back to the old business as usual. And then sometimes something happened again, will stir up the house of prayer, and people will be coming with a mind and heart to pray, and some great things happen again, and they begin to die down again. See, what God is trying to establish with us or in us is that culture of prayer. This is why we see the church in the function or the dysfunction that it is now, because we don't have our prayer culture established. When something is established, it is settled. It is laid out is like the tracks of a train. It's already a path laid. It only we have to do follow what has already been laid. It will bring forth success. So we have not established it. So if we start laying down the tracks, then we stop. We started, then we stopped. So here for the last century, we've been working on trying to lay down the track, which probably would take 2 years if we work on it consistently, but it's been taking 50, almost 100 years because we keep starting and stopping, And what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to do is unction us to get this prayer culture started, and not only started, established and done. So as we go further into it, there are some points I want to make quickly about this that was brought up in the article, which was very good. And these are things that we are to endeavor to do. I mean, and like I said, none of us have arrived. There are some churches who may have a prayer culture extremely more established than others. So, but to encourage us all on the level that we are. I've seen a sign years ago that says, not a sign, but it was a message on the back of a truck that says, our destination is excellence. You know, so this is where we're pursuing. We're pursuing excellence. And it begins with getting good, proper instruction. It begins with then applying that instruction. It will examine yourself, then applying that instruction and keeping up with the instruction, following through and keep it and really make it a law within you. And this is where you've seen some many greats of like Bruce Lee and some other martial artists and just different people of different professions who walk in the spirit of mastery to whatever skills they carry because they have a consistent regimen of their success. There's a consistency of what they would do, they would practice, and how they apply it to their lives. These are their principles they live by to protect them and others with their craft. There are certain ones that won't do certain, you know, they will go to extremes in order for them to use their craft because for the fact that they know they themselves are the weapon. You know, with martial arts, that's why some people you see when who are boxers who may get in trouble. The first thing the cops do, especially when their hands are registered as a boxer, a legalized boxer, their hands have to be registered, you know, like a weapon because they are weapons. It's to one who's skilled. So even when it comes down to the area of prayer, the church should be established. We should be registered as a weapon in prayer. We should be effective with prayer. To the point to where every time that we open our mouth to begin to pray, the devil should be shaken out of his shoes, boots, whatever, slippers, whatever it is he's wearing, he should be shaken because of the threat. Because he don't know what's going to happen when you pray. Only thing he knows is you about to pray and something's about to come down in his house. He's trying to look, is it going to be the glass vase? Is it going to be the roof? Is it going to be the ceiling? Is it going to be the whole kingdom? He just don't know because you are about to pray. We are about to pray. Oh, Lord, don't let the church get on one accord and we start praying for real. See, even as the building began to shake, as they prayed, you know, one accord, they didn't have no isms and schism going on with each other. They weren't looking at what each other was wearing. It did not matter what they were wearing. It didn't matter who had the biggest paycheck. It didn't matter who gave the most in offering. Only thing that mattered, they were on one accord in one place, and they were functioning together as a one man under heaven because this was an established culture. See, they didn't just pray when something was going wrong. They didn't just pray when the money was looking funny. They didn't start praying when the chief priests and all of them start talking trash about them. They had something established to where rain, sleet, or snow, prayer was consistently going on in the house of God. They would always come to, it was almost ritual for them to come together to pray. Intercession was constantly going on. We see in Acts chapter 7 where they came with the situation with the widows and they told the apostles, you know, and the apostles said, well, we can't leave the word of God in prayer to go away tables. That they were not about to compromise the culture to serve the people in a sense where we can establish a new work for some people to do who's available to do it. That's where the power of delegation comes in. See, they ought not have abandoned the place of prayer in the word to go wait tables, even though some people do it, because yes, it's a good deed, you're helping those, but at the same time, at what cost? Because they knew or they understood why they had to be before the Lord in the position of what they've been called to do as the apostles, had to give direction, had to sit before the Lord's face, and all this was going on, because if they would have abandoned that place, then those prayers, certain things won't be covered. So now we create a door where the enemy now can come in. Because why? Because the guard was down. Because there was no prayer going on. See, we have to understand, just because something's good, that doesn't mean it's God. A good idea is not a God idea. So even though it was a need, it was a legit need, but they realized and understood that we cannot leave the position of prayer and being in the Word to go serve people, as far as in the sense of to go serve a crisis situation, I should say. Let me say it like that, more of a crisis situation. And so we, and as leaders, and this is some of the hardest things for us to do sometimes, to get it through our head that we have to stay in our place. This is where we have to delegate authority and have right people, faithful people in place. And see, this is why having a church full of people is great, but having a church full of people who don't want to work is terrible. We have to understand that the leaders cannot and should not do it all by themselves. Now, if they, with the situation with the widows and everything, those apostles didn't leave their place in prayer and the word and to go deal with the crisis situation. They established deacons. They established people and put them in place and empowered them to go forth with the Spirit of God on them, with them, to go forth and do what was needed to be done. This is why we need good help, because we get out of place by trying to do everything. And just because our heart is to make sure that everything is taken care of, sometimes we get ourselves in a bad position because we want to make sure everything's done, but it's not always in us doing it by ourselves. It's not always by our hand. And we also have to be more secure within ourselves to realize, guess what? You can't do it all. Even though we want to do it all, but that's not good for the church, for the leader to do everything. I don't know how I get there, but we will go right there. Because sometimes just because we can do it, that don't mean it's good. So if your leader's stretched out doing everything, then what are the people doing? What are the other leaders doing? This is why what leaders need people who will come to put their hand to the plow and work. We don't need people who will sit there and watch the pastor do everything. We need to have people who are ready to work, who's ready to, with their sleeves rolled up, so get past what you need done. That's the kind of people your leader needs. You don't need someone who can sit there and observe them. Oh, look at the pastor. He's going to see so-and-so. Oh, the pastor come. And then go talk trash at the pastor and get to come visit you. I'm pretty sure he got a lot of other things to do, too, as well. And it's nothing personal. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some people some pastors who probably don't do. But the bottom line is, that wasn't always for the pastor to do that. That's why he established deacons. The deacons were the ones who were supposed to go out and visit the sick, because they had needed work to do. They had needed these men who had the spirit of their leader, their pastor. Follow your leader. Follow you had to get the spirit of your pastor, and then they went out and went forth into the different places, wherever they were needed, and went and established and did some work. So when you start having your leader do everything, it wears them out. And they're running thin trying to do everything. And then when the pastor dropped the ball, oh, my God, pastor didn't come by and visit. I'm offended, so you will stop coming to church. You will stop paying tithes and offering because you're mad because the pastor didn't come by and visit you. But the pastor been trying to get some sleep. He probably been up all praying all night. We don't know. But the thing is, it's not for the leader to do everything. Now, I've got my little rant and raven out. Okay, praise God. So, now, as we get back to the text, so as we see here, they came together. They got the report of what was the priest and everything was saying, what they were doing, the dirt, you know what I'm saying? Okay, they got the load out. So what did they do? They went and do what they've always been doing, went forth and prayed. And you know that they were doing this. This was a consistency thing, a consistent thing was happening, because when they went to pray, God moved. It didn't take God all year to move. And one thing we can tell, when there's an atmosphere established of prayer, it'll take God a long time to move, because they're in tune. God is already waiting to listen. He's already ready to move. Only thing, God just needs some directives. When we move it, what needs to be done. And, you know, and see, I'm pretty sure they didn't always come to God with a problem. But they would go to God not only in just in prayer, but in the worship and everything. Everything has a place with God. So, you know, just coming to God just when something's wrong, that's an unhealthy relationship going on. That's not good. You know, so anyway, let me move further here. So we see that example. So as we go back to that scripture, we see here, as we look at that same, I think it's verse 30. It's verse 29. And now, Acts 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Okay, behold, you hear their threatenings. And grant, I'm going to read through the NLT version. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your gospel. Listen, there's nothing wrong with you asking God for some boldness to preach the gospel, especially in some of the situations that, you know, when you're going through some situations that maybe seem kind of sticky. Lord, and sometimes some things, look at some situations we just don't want to deal with it, just because it's like, God, man, I mean, why I got to deal with this? I don't feel like dealing with this, God. Why don't somebody else do this? But no, guess what? You're the one. We know you may not feel like dealing with it, but then at the same time, God needs you to be in the place to be used, because it's divinely purpose for you to be the one to handle the situation. He says, a great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power, may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed confidently with expectation of something and a great move of God to happen. They didn't pray, oh Lord, if it be your will, Jesus, let such and such happen. Lord, if it be your, listen. We don't have time to talk about if your will. We know that God's will needs to be done. He said, as it is in heaven, it is also on earth. So if we know this, let's cut out the if it be your will. We know God's will. So how it is in heaven, it should be also established on the earth. So we go right to the point. And so he goes forward and says, let the sign, wonders, miracles, you know, let everything happen that needs to be happened, because this opposition is going against God and his word, his people. Okay, so in verse 32, in verse 31, says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. You can't tell me God didn't hear that prayer, because he immediately responded. See, that don't just happen praying to God every now and then. That don't happen every now and then in a prayer service. That don't just happen, we skip and pray for 2-3 months, and we come together and pray because Brother Johnny's in the hospital. No. This is where God's ears was already open to them. because these constantly hearing their voices, constantly hearing them pray, constantly hearing them worship, constantly hearing them in his face. When you talk about establishing a culture of prayer, it's not hit and miss. It's a consistency that we must get a hold of. Listen, that's why I said we, because we ain't there yet. We got to get it together. Listen, Muslims pray at least 2-3 times a day. Who else? Buddhists pray at least 2-3 times a day, consistently. And they serve, and the other servant praying to a rock and a fat man on a real fat statue. Are you serious? How are they more faithful in prayer to a dead God? And we serve a live, moving, functioning God, and we don't take time enough to pray. Some of us, we just skip days. Muslims trying to pray at least once a day. Some of us skip days. Yeah, Lord knows, don't ask us the last time we opened the Bible. The Bible is still asking the question, why am I here? The Bible asks the question, why am I here? I have no purpose here. I mean, it's bad when the Bible got asked, why is there purpose there? Because we don't open it up. We don't pray. We don't read. So we got to get ourselves together, the church. We got to get together. We have to get this thing established. We should not. As you know, there's a rock and roll song, "Living on a Prayer." Oh, I forgot who sung that song, but it's a song called "Living on a Prayer." Why are we living on a prayer? We are His children. Why are we living on a prayer? When I say that, I'm saying it from the standpoint of only time we pray is when we're in trouble. And that's now we try to hold on to that. Now we try to squeeze God when we're in trouble. But any other time, okay, God, what's up? You know, we don't talk to God enough. We don't be in His face praying. God should not have to look at the call ID and see who's just praying. Talking to me. He should already know our voice, in which He does. But if He treated us the way we treat Him, because okay, let's turn the tables. We know God knows our voice, but do we know God's voice? How much can actually say we hear God speak that we know that's Him? How much can we say that we when God speak that we even listen? Let's go a little bit deeper. If we can say how much can we really say when God speak, do we listen and we do it? But it goes back to you got to know His voice. He knows our voice because He made us. But do we know His voice? Because you serve Him? So if we're expecting God, Lord, here am I, you know, but at the same time, can God say that we know Him all the times that God gives us directives all day long? And listen, from the pulpit to the back door, I'm trying to tell you, and none of us exempt from this. Because you got some preachers who got ministry. Ministry. Well, do ministry minded. But they forget God. How we can get so wrapped up in ministry, but we forget God? We can't. It's not, we so caught up in doing the works that we forget the relationship. We're so caught up on being a savior and being super preacher, super bishops, super apostle. We want to do everything, but we forget God. And that's why after a while, we're running on empty, and we feel like killing ourselves. Why? Because we tired from trying to save the whole world, and we can't keep up. You are not the Holy Ghost. You're not Jesus. But we can get so caught up in ministry to where we forget Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, amen. As we go a little further. So, bottom line is, we can't be hitting missing in establishing a prayer culture. It needs to be a consistency. Not only consistent, but it needs to be diligent, aggressively going after God. You know, reading far as spending time in His presence, doing what needs to be done corporately as well as personally. And the main time, like I've told many of you, the stronger our personal time is with the Lord, the stronger our corporate time. And see, once again, this shows that their personal times with God were powerful, because when they came together corporately, God moved. See, all of our relationships on different levels play a part in the great movement of God in the whole church corporately. See, it's what are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing anything to the table? Are you bringing a hit and miss relationship to the table? Are you bringing a once a year or two times a year relationship with God or talk with God to the table? Are you bringing a fervent heart relationship with God to where you're constantly seeking God day and night, and when you add yourself to the equation as far as when you come in and we pray together, God moves tremendously? And that's why some people get caught on, you know, and some people get worn out because they're bringing within constantly, you know, see, what you constantly practice is what you're going to constantly do. So if we're constantly hitting and missing with God, then trust me, that's what you bring to the plate, in and out relationship with God. But as we begin to get more established in our culture at home, so guess what? All of us right now, we may not have a culture, prayer culture in our home established. We may not have a prayer culture established in our church right now. But listen, the awesome thing is God is bringing the message. He's getting our attention. Now, what are we going to do with it? Should we continue in missing the mark? Should we continue in sin? Or should we come to the place, okay, God, help me get this thing established. Thank you for bringing the word. Thank you for bringing to my attention what I need to get established in order for me to have a more effective, more fervent, more effectual prayer life, to where it's not just when I'm in trouble, but no matter rain, sleet, or snow, we're going to be consistent with this thing. All right, let me get down to the main thing that I want to get down to. Amen. So we see right here where this is going. And we have to be aggressive. We have to be persistent. We have to want this prayer culture established. Because when you have an established prayer culture, it is so much easier for God to move. Y'all, look, let's just be honest. The things that were happening in the Old Testament and even the New Testament church, it should be far greater than what it is now. Why? Because we lost the prayer culture. We missed the mark when it came to the prayer culture. This is why there was so much effective in prayer, signs and wonders from God happening. That's why they were so used by God, because they had an established prayer culture to where they made prayer was a priority. It wasn't an option. Prayer wasn't an option. Prayer was a priority. Like you taking that deep breath and breathing, that's a priority. You need that breath to live. Well, that's how prayer was to them. Prayer was so serious, they realized they could not function, do nothing without God. And how long in a day did we go without even acknowledging God? So you ain't got to answer that. Just think about it. So this is why, listen, once again, from the pulpit to the back door, we all got to get checked on this. God wants us to have a stronger prayer culture. If we want to see God move this year, and if we want God to move in our household and in our life, all that He's doing with us or want to do, we have to establish a stronger prayer culture. Matter of fact, not even so much a stronger. Let's establish a prayer culture. We have to get it established in order for us to go stronger. You know? I mean, you got to have something going on before you can actually make it stronger. So let's get established in our prayer culture, in our home, in the churches, even on the lines. Whatever it is that you do, wherever you do it, get it started. As we get it going and begin to establish it, then we can see the results. Okay. All right. Let me go to Daniel chapter 3. So just keeping, okay, let me finish in that verse 31, Acts 4:31. And they had prayed, this place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. The Holy Spirit had to stand tarry all night long. Holy Ghost was right there to move, ready, fill them up. And they speak the word of God with boldness. They got their request, they got filled, and they went and did what God what they asked God to do. They empowered them to do. They preached that word. Okay, now let's move forward. Let's go to Daniel chapter six. Amen. Now, very familiar, but once again, open ears to hear. Now, we see here, we're going to go ahead and start from verse 1. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, Daniel 6, verse 1. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage or suffer no loss. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. See, our destination is excellence, y'all. We have to pursue greater. Just a little dab will do you, or just enough to get by, is not going to. This cannot establish a prayer culture. Just making it or getting by cannot help you to have a strong prayer culture. We have to do more. We have to go to a place of sacrifice. It's going to cost you, but it's going to be worth the price that you pay. Glory to God. In the presence and princes sought to find, Nessa's spirit was in him, and the king's thought to set him over the whole realm. So the king considered and wanted, because of Daniel's pursuit of excellence, because of the way he desired to do, the way Daniel did things in order, how he carried himself, he didn't let people get him out of character. Listen, we see in Daniel the effects of having a strong prayer culture. First of all, individually. When we saw in verse chapter 3, I think it was 3, or chapter 2, where we saw where the king was going to kill the people because he wanted an interpretation of his dream, and Daniel and the three Hebrew boys got together. So now we saw a clip of their prayer culture corporately. That gave us a corporate picture of their prayer culture that they had. Because when they got to get, because Daniel got to Daniel, the king told him what he wanted. He struck the deal with the king, and he went back to the three Hebrew boys. And because they all came from the same place, they all, you know, came through the same training, and you know, far as from their from the Hebrew, I mean, from the land where they were together, they knew each other. They knew them who labored among each other. So they knew who they were. And besides that, they also had the same prayer culture. So we see a glimpse of Daniel here now of the effects of his prayer culture on a personal level. Then we see back then, we saw the example of their prayer culture corporately. And God, they prayed, they went before God, and they gave God the situation, and they prayed, and guess what? Before the end of the night, before the next morning, God gave them the answer to take now back to the king. And he blessed God because he knew his answer, who he knew where he was going to get his answer from. And the Lord blessed him with the answer to give to the king that brought relief to the kingdom. See, an established prayer culture, corporately and personally, can bring many people relief, can bring many people a breakthrough, can make that much of a difference in not only your life, but those who surround you because of your prayer culture. See, this is how we begin to affect atmospheres and really begin to make marks that cannot be erased. When we go into an atmosphere or room to where the presence of the Lord is so strong that the room whole the whole atmosphere of the room changes. The temperature in the room changes because we are there. You know, so amen, amen. Let me get on back in here. Okay. All right. So this is very important. So we see on that level, or the personal level, the establishment of Daniel. Okay, then we see verse 3. It says, Daniel's preferred above the prince. Okay, before the prince, before the was preferred by the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. See, okay, so now they're feeling some kind of way. They don't like the fact of that Daniel was chosen above them. And, you know, you can tell Daniel, it didn't matter. Daniel just wanted to do his job. That's all he was concerned about, doing what he do and do it well. That's a very valuable lesson that we learned from Daniel right there. Don't be so concerned about everybody else's work. Just be concerned what's before you and do a good job. Saints, stop being busybodies. Stop being everybody else's business. I don't know who they think. Stop that. If the way they're working is bothering you, don't look at them. If what they're doing is irritating you because the boss always calling them, find out what they're doing and do the same thing. Or just get over it. We spend so much time on things that don't even matter. Don't get mad because whatever he's doing, the boss is noticing and he's liking it. Don't get mad because they're getting recognition for their dedication, their hard work, their own time. You can't knock another man's progress or blessing because you ain't doing the same thing. We need to stop that. Who do you think they are? They ain't all that. They ain't. Stop that. You obviously they are because you beefing on that. We got to get it together. Stop being petty. Matter of fact, get with them and say, man, what you doing? I just know you must be some things you're doing because, man, God is blessing you, man. What you doing? Ask questions. Find out. Get on the bandwagon. Now, if you're doing something out of business, okay, you know what? You can keep that. I'm good. But if it's something good and legit, then change. See, the thing is, we sometimes think that we don't want that no one can teach us anything. Just because we're the Christians, and let me say this. Just because you're the believer, that don't mean you know everything. There's some people in the secular world you can learn some valuable principles from that work. Okay, because some people we have CP time. For those who know, we have colored people time. Sometimes we get to work 10-ish with the grace of 15 to 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. But no, we get it at 10-ish, 10:30-ish. Now, come on. But then we look funny at the one who going to work 9:30, 9:45, and they get promoted. Well, I can do my job better than him. Listen, you'd be surprised how many times people get promoted not because they do such an excellent job. You probably can outdo the job they do, but their performance and the ethics of how they handle the business. They're on point, they're on time. The boss don't have to look for them in the bathroom. The boss don't have to chase them down and make sure they're doing the right thing because they're in place. They may not be the best at what they do, considering other people. Some other people may outperform them as far as the level of experience and all that good stuff. But the way they take care of the business, that man will promote them. Because he understands, you know what, you might not be to that level of so-and-so right now, but the way you're going, you're going to get there. And because of those other areas that I like to see you do is working, I don't have to chase you down. You're dependable. You come to work. You're on time and early. All these things matter. And so that's why we have to begin to look at the things that really count and matter versus looking. Don't follow people up because people will find all kind of reason to hate on somebody and versus really find out what they're doing and make some changes in their life. Okay, improve. If you don't like the way you're doing things or whatever, if it's not effective, change. Amen. All right, so just want to bring that point up because we can get ill for the silliest reasons. I mean, we can. But anyway, so we go further. So concerning verse 4, concerning Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion, no fault, because Daniel, he probably was his biggest critic. Daniel would probably look at what he did and say, you know what, I'm not pleased with that. Daniel literally took the word of God where it says, do everything as unto the Lord, before the scripture was actually written to do that, you know, as far as before we see it in the scripture. But he did what he did with the ethics as unto the Lord, you can say. So he had an excellence that he wanted to do it in because the way he wanted his work to speak for him. And it also reflect God, too, because, you know, people knew him as a man of God. And because that's something for us to consider. He knew he walked with God. And he wanted people to understand and know that he walked with God. They didn't have to question Daniel's integrity, even though they were trying to question, but they couldn't question it. They couldn't question his purpose or doing his, you know, his motives for certain things, even though they were trying to find a reason, but they couldn't. See, these are the things that we have to look at. Having a strong prayer culture helps shape us, because the conviction of the Lord would deal with Daniel before anyone else that would ever say anything. Come on now. If you're talking to the Lord as much as you say you do, you don't say nothing to us? Or the question is, do we listen? He's talking. He's listening. I mean, he's speaking. But are we listening? But we holy rollers now. We God moving through heaven and earth and all that good stuff. Okay, yeah, but what is he saying to you? You know, every new week we buying a new lottery ticket, smoking a new Newport, drinking a drink, cussing, do all, you know, I mean, we do everything. I mean, and listen, we all got some different areas that we need to work on, because ain't none of us perfect. But at the same time, if there's no conviction, and that conviction comes from a prayer culture, from the pulpit to the back door, I'm going to keep saying until Jesus come back, because none of us are exempt. We have to have a strong prayer culture, beginning with us at home first. And then we can move into the church and redo in the church together corporately, to where we begin to affect the world more positively because of the prayer culture that we carry, that we are a part of, that we function in, that we move in, that we live in. In him, we live, we move, and we have our being. All right. Okay. Hold on. We're almost there. Hold on, Zion. Hold on. All right. So he goes on to say, nor find occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, he was faithful. That means he was strict. He was disciplined. He walked with purpose. He didn't have to be chased down to do certain things. He knew to do it, and he got it done. He kept his word. Lord Jesus, he kept his word. When he said he was going to do it, he didn't have to question. He got it done because he knew what he put out there. I'm telling you all things. I mean, we all can learn so much from the prayer culture that Daniel had established, and it helped shape him to be the man of God that he is. I know. I mean, I never seen it from this light before, but as I'm looking at it now, I'm like, wow. Because of his prayer culture, because of his constant communication, constant flowing with God, it kept him, it helped shape him to be a strong man of God with principles, with ethics, with character. And these guys were trying to find reasons to get Daniel in trouble. They could not find not one thing. You notice that when they was trying to find something, they couldn't find it. All right. He goes on to say, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error nor fault found in him. And he wasn't perfect, but he just did things a certain way. So he made sure that his I's are dotted, his T's are crossed. So, amen. So as he began to do that, okay, then we go on a little further. He goes on to say, verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find an occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now they realize, okay, we can't find nothing where he do something. I mean, the man just do it right in his heart. He is. But one thing we do know is prayer culture. We do know his faithfulness to his God through his prayer culture. We have to find a way to turn this thing around so that we can use that against him, create something, a problem, because Daniel didn't have a problem. So these men, we should find no occasion against Daniel. Okay, verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said this unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents and the king and the governors and the princes, counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Let me read that part again on the NLT version. Give orders that the sentences of the king shall make a law that will strictly enforce, shall be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, thrown into the den of lions. Now listen, they realized that Daniel's prayer culture was focused on God. They knew enough to realize, okay, we know that he's not going to pray to the king. So let's put it to where, let's get the king to assign this establishment or this decree that if anyone prays to any man or anyone divine, anyone else besides him, then they're going to be in trouble. And so that's what they did. They created something because they knew the foundation of what Daniel's prayer culture was towards God, not man. So they changed the rules to where now it will be illegal for him to pray to God for the next 30 days, and he had to go to man. So now it was a test of God, a test of Daniel's integrity as well. Would Daniel break his covenant with God and start praying to a man? Or would Daniel sacrifice all to be faithful to God? See, your prayer culture set the boundaries. Not only does the prayer culture set the boundaries, but it positions you. Okay, almost there, and we'll be done with this. Oh, man. Glory to God. So he goes on. Verse 8, and now, O king, establish. Well, he goes on to say, 7 will remain to be thrown into the den of lions. Okay. Now, O king, establish the decree in signing that it be not changed, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the decree. Now, so the king did not realize, and I guess it sounded entertaining to the king. Okay, sure, I mean, that's cool. I would be worshiped, you know, let them pray towards me, you know, this and that. But I wouldn't have, even the king should have realized that wasn't, you know, but at the same time, who knows, he may have liked the attention or whatever, but he signed it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. So Daniel knew. So Daniel, they didn't say they necessarily went behind Daniel's back, per se, but Daniel was close enough that he knew what was going on. Daniel was not hidden to what happened. Daniel was right there, and Daniel held his peace. He realized what was going on. And so what did he do? He held his peace. He said, well, he knew what was going to happen, and he knew what was signed. And what did Daniel do? Go back and continue in his prayer culture. Okay? He goes on to say, He went to his house. He went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, before his God, and his as he did aforetime. So what he always did. Daniel did not change his prayer culture because the situation changed. Come on, y'all, get this what I'm saying. Your prayer culture cannot change just because situations change. Your prayer culture need to be established, and it stays the same. I'm not saying you may not miss a time or two on occasion to pray, but ultimately your prayer culture stays the same. It's stable. It's not up and down, down and up. No, it's consistent. So Daniel did not move. He got to move from inconsistency after that was established. And the prayer, when it was signed, he kept on going. He did what he knew to do daily. He didn't change them. He didn't close the windows. He did what he did. He did daily. He didn't change that. So, and then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. He didn't find doing nothing else but what he'd been doing and what he always do, and making supplication before his God. Oh, okay. I'm out of time. But I'm going to stop right there, but I want to mention a few quick things pertaining to what was established here and by Daniel to bring us up to this point here. We have to come back. When we come back again, we have to go back into it again and continue from this point. It's just so much to be brought into. Okay, let me bring up 4 major points I want to bring up with Daniel's experience. Number one, prayer maintains your lifestyle. Prayer maintains your spiritual lifestyle. It helps maintain your spiritual lifestyle. Your spiritual lifestyle. Then we have having a prayer culture. Having a prayer culture maintains your spiritual lifestyle. Having a prayer culture keeps you on point and aware of your surroundings and helps you to modify or adjust. As Daniel did, he did what we do, and it kept him on point. It kept him consistent, kept him on time. All these things, the prayer culture kept him in sync and in tune, so they couldn't find the occasion. They couldn't find nothing against him. Prayer culture keeps you from fear and anxiety of authority and keep you focused on God. When this thing was brought up, this signing, the letter, the decree and everything, Daniel did not lose his head. Having an established prayer culture keeps you in a place of peace. He didn't have him all full of fear and anxiety because guess what? Just because the situation changed, his culture, his prayer culture didn't change. So just because the situation changed, he didn't want to twist things up. That did not change God or his approach to God. He knew God was still faithful through it all. God was still God. Okay, and then number 4, the last thing, constant of the prayer culture. With having a prayer culture, constant practice brings constant results or constant return. So we see here, we're going to see when we come back, that him having a constant or consistent prayer life, prayer culture, it helped to shape, help protect, help to, to having this consistent practice, it brought forth results in our lives. In his life and even in our lives. So, amen. We're going to stop there. We get ready to open the call if there's anyone who have any questions, concerns, who need prayer. Amen. So that's just the beginning of it. I mean, but it's just a lot that was being brought forth tonight. The Lord just, I mean, I'm excited about this because it helps me to see how important our prayer culture really is. And we've been missing out on the benefits of having a strong prayer culture. It's like I said, starting first at home and then into the church. Because if we have a strong prayer culture at home, it adds great dynamics to when we come together in the church. And this is where we have a powerful intercessory team group, strong church, because the personal side of the prayer culture is strong. You have a strong relationship of prayer culture at home, and when we come to church, the prayer culture in the church it's going to be even stronger. The corporate anointing is the greatest anointing that we have. So when we have that strong prayer culture in the church, there's nothing too hard for God. So I'm going to stop right there. Any questions, concerns, any comments at this time, you may press 1 to speak, 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to speak. Amen. Glory to God. With everyone. All right. Okay. Amen. All right. We have a caller. Go ahead. Hello?
Are you Apostle Marcus?
Yes.
Hi. Can you read number 2 again? He said prayer culture. I didn't get it on number 2.
Okay, number 2. Yes, number 2. Okay, your prayer culture keeps you on point and aware of your surroundings and helps you to modify and adjust.
Okay, I got that. So, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you. Amen. Amen. So, yes, amen. Amen. Yes, we have another caller. Amen.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
I was talking earlier, but the other lady chimed in. I just want to say thank you, Apostle Dupree. Much honor and glory to God, you and Lady Supreme, Lady Selena and your family. And just thank you for the word. Prayer is so important, and that's what get us through, because like you said, when we keep that relationship, not just when we need something, but we constantly going, whatever we going through, God will, you know, send you help, give you help through tough times.
Yes.
Not just praying when we need something, but just having a daily prayer life and praying for others, not just praying for ourselves, praying
yes.
for others. So, amen on tonight. Thank you for the needed word. And keep
amen.
Letting God
You're
use
welcome.
You. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Truly consistent, having a consistent prayer life along with, of course, having a strong prayer culture keeps God's ears close to you. It causes him to be attentive to your prayer. A lot more consistent. He's right there because, you know, you're constantly talking and you're praying and everything. And then, like I said, it's not just about you, and that was a good point, you know, not just about you and your household, your family, but praying for others as well. That's where intercession is going to be very effective in our lives as well. So, amen. Praise God. Anyone else at this time? Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Go ahead, speaker.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I like the one thing that you had said about our personal prayer life, and even just our intimacy life, even at home. Like, people think, oh, when we get to church, that's when it's supposed to happen. No, it's like you said, it's when you develop it at home, at your job, or whatever, wherever you get. But mostly at your home where you can ignite, you know, from
yeah.
the presence
mm-hmm.
of the atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah, to...
The stronger our personal time, our stronger our personal culture with prayer is, the stronger our corporate culture will become, you know, and so of course we all add to that, so definitely it's going to be stronger. So we have a stronger home, you know, in our own personal prayer culture, it's going to
yeah.
be so much more powerful together.
You know, I was just telling my husband that today, I think it was at 7 or 8 o'clock, no, that was like, seven between 8 o'clock, I was just telling him that. It doesn't matter how much we go to church, it does not matter how much we don't have that personal relationship with God. It really, I'm not saying prayer with people is a bad thing or spending time with people, but it's your personal time that really helps. But different people learn at different rates, where people may grow more with people. Some may, you know, by themselves, but it goes back to that foundation of us having that relationship with God ourselves.
Yes. Amen. And you know, it all has its parts to play in, because we need the corporate time, but we also need the personal time. And the personal time is when you get established and really have that time to really be effective corporately. So you definitely need to have that together as well. So praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Yes, go ahead, caller. Amen.
Pastor Marcus. Oh.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm Apostle Marcus. This is Sister Denise. I like the part about Daniel, where he had an excellent spirit, because it was done unto God and not to man. And that really, you know, got my attention.
Amen. It got mine, too. Because, you know, when you think about this, our heart intent is just whatever we do, do this unto the Lord, because we know the Lord sees it. And he kind of helps you just kind of remember saying, you know what, that I have no reason not to put my best foot forward every day. No reason why not to. Amen. So that does help us to kind of give us a stronger step forward, because we want to be pleasing to the Lord in all that we do. And we should. I mean, we should definitely want that to be so. So that helps us to kind of remember and realize that's why Daniel got promoted. That's why things happened for Daniel. Now that he was such a great guy, but he just did what he did. He did it well. He just did it unto the Lord.
Amen.
So it's his heart motive behind it. So amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
And also, Pastor Marcus, another person that had an excellent spirit was Mary. Martha was, you know, she was all about working, but Mary, she chose the excellent, you know, the excellent way.
Yes.
If I'm saying it right.
She, her focus was on the Lord, and even that time of just being in his presence at his feet, you know, like he told Mary, you know, people be here always, and you know, other stuff here, but you being busy, but with Mary, because her focus was to the Lord at his feet, you know, or Martha, I think it was. But yes, but I understand what you're saying. Yes, amen. That focus was to the Lord, and really worshiping and serving him. That she had a revelation, and she moved on it. Amen. So yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else at this time? Amen. Anyone else? Glory to God. All right. Amen. If anyone else at this time, we're going to go ahead. There's not anyone else, I should say. Amen. We're going to definitely want to pray and encourage you guys to work on, you know, even as we all of us, none of us are exempt, work on our prayer culture. Let's work on our prayer culture at home and corporately when we come together. It's going to be vital, because it will make a difference. Once again, when they prayed, it didn't take God all year to move, because they had an established prayer culture. God was constantly listening to their prayer. He was right there. Now, I'm saying he's not listening to yours, he may not even move a little faster once you begin to make prayer a priority in your life. You make sure it's really a priority. So we got to work on that. So let us definitely take time on and examine our lives and see where we maybe could be dropping the ball, or where we can improve. And let's apply the Word of God there and establish a stronger prayer culture in our individual lives and even corporately when we come together. Really allow God to minister to us corporately as we come together and pray. Amen. And begin to build a strong culture in prayer, that when we come to, that our church will be, you know, definitely a place noted for prayer. It will be a place to where prayer is a priority. It's not something we passively do. It's something that is a priority. It's first, you know, is definitely high in the first place. You know, as far as when we come there, prayer is going to be one of those things that we jump right into. You ain't got to question that. You know, you don't need a title to pray. You don't need a title to pray. But prayer would be so established that, you know, we don't have to question if we should pray or not. Before service starts, what we're going to come find us doing? Praying. Because we realize without God's presence in the house, His Spirit is not going to move. Whatever he want to get done will not get done unless we invite Him in by prayer and saturate the atmosphere before we get started. So, amen. So, we praise God for that. Amen. All right. Amen. So, once again, so God bless you all, and thank you for an awesome night tonight, and even for what you heard and received. We won't be on next week. We'll be off the air next week, but we'll be back on the week after. I think the second week in February. So next week we won't be on. Lady Selena, we'll be celebrating our 20-year anniversary. Amen. And we praise God for all the years that He's blessed us with, and thank God for even just who she is. And I wouldn't be who I am without her, so I thank God for her and all the wonderful things He's doing in her life, and just for me being able to tag along. Because really, remember the favor, the Bible says, when man finds a wife, he findeth a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. So some great things will happen. Great things happen when we, of course, the end we're trying to cause some things to happen now. But anyway. Amen. Amen. So, as I was saying, so we thank God for the favor of the Lord being upon our lives, and He's doing exactly what He desired to do. So once again, we will won't be on next week, but we'll be on a week after. So that'll be the second week of February. So God bless you all. Thank you. You'll have a great night. And once again, we are establishing our prayer culture individually and corporately. Amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye.